السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، یا ایها المدثر قم فانذر وربک فکبر وثیابک فطہر والرجز فاهجر ولا تمنن تستكثر ولربك فاصبر صدق الله العظيم۔ علماء کرام، اس ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، ایز یو آر اویئر، نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام ان دا قرآن شریف اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ایڈریسڈ ہم ویری ویری لوینگلی ود ڈفرنٹ ٹائٹلز۔ آدھا انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام وی ایڈریسڈ یا موسیٰ، یا عیسیٰ، یا داؤد، پر نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام یا ایها النبی، یا ایها الرسول، یا ایها المزمل، یا ایها المدثر۔ سو دس ایڈریس ٹو نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام ول سے واز آؤٹ آف گریٹ لو، شوئنگ گریٹ افینٹی ٹو نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام۔ That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses him, that, O thou, enveloped in thy cloak or in the blanket or in a garment. The first verses of the Quran Sharif that were revealed were the verses of Surah Iqra. Now there is no time to go into any kind of tafsir in this little time that we have. But after that there was a short break, and thereafter, according to the Mufassirin, these were the first verses that were revealed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was now being told that get up, ya ayyuhal muddathir, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam covered himself with garments when he saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in his original form. First time that he saw him like that was in the cave of Hira, and now he saw him again. So that perspiration and that shivering and that cold, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam covered himself. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses him lovingly, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, because it is from dithar, meaning those clothes which a person puts on as additional clothes when it is cold. How we put on our jackets, we put on our jerseys, or the person wraps himself in a blanket because of the cold. So like that, these are the additional clothes that person puts on. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa anzir, stand up and warn. Now although these ayat were addressed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to the kuffar, that addressed them, warned them, but in application, we must understand that lots of things have been addressed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but yet it was for the entire ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that was going to come. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sometimes given very specific instructions that you must do this, you must do that, you must stay away from this sin, you must stay away from that sin, you must stay away from idol worship. Now was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to do any of those things? We got our iman because of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and there was no shred of doubt, there was absolutely no doubt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he was masoom, he was sinless. So when addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you must not indulge in this or indulge in that, what does it mean? That when the person is addressing his most beloved, knowing fully well that he is not going to even engage in any of those sins, so how much more important then it is for us who are claiming to be ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, it was for us, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being addressed. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, Qum fa anzir. Now this anzir is from inzar. One is warning a person of making him frightened or scared, as we say, that watch out, that's a lion, that's a tiger, that's a huge python, that's a snake, it will bite you. Now that is a different kind of warning. And in inzar, it's another kind of warning, that with great love, with great compassion, with great mercy and kindness, he is told to warn, or the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that is what their warning is all about. That believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, obey Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, distance yourself from sins and you will become the recipients of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy, kindness, forgiveness. And you will get the best of both worlds, not only the hereafter but even this world. But if you are not going to do that, then there's inzar, then after that there's a warning. That then there's going to be punishment, there's going to be disasters, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be floodwaters, there's going to be tremors in this world, different kinds of problems. And then in the hereafter again, azab in the qabr, azab in the akhirat. So that warning is with great compassion that the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not want to see any of his ummati go into Jahannam, into the fire of hell. It's not that they just warn for no reason. It's like how parents are all the time warning the children, watch out, don't just sit in anybody's car. They could hijack you and take you away somewhere. Children that come out of the school, we tell them that must watch out, don't just take anybody's lift. We know what is happening nowadays. In the same way, how many things we are warning our children. A person is driving and going to Johannesburg, say, watch out, there are now too many cameras on the road. So we are warning, but some of those warnings are with love, that we don't want that person to be trapped. Are we telling him that don't drive fast because we want you to be trapped? We are telling him don't drive fast and don't exceed the speed limit because there are lots of cameras and you will get trapped, then you will have to pay fines and sometime you may end up in jail and you'll get free breakfast at the expense of the taxpayers. So we are warning because we love the person. We don't want him to go into any kind of difficulty. So like that, the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, the prophets of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and especially Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that great love that he had, that every ummati must go to paradise, must enjoy the best of both worlds. So therefore he told, Qum fa anzir. But since at that time, there were only a few people that had accepted Islam when these verses were revealed. So therefore it was addressed more for those kuffar, that there was no question of them being given basharat and glad tidings. There first it was warning that accept Islam, come into deen, and it will be good for your worldly matters and also for the hereafter. And if you don't, then of course there's warning that this is what is going to happen in the hereafter. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, Qum fa anzir. That means they are not only ibadat in Islam, that the person makes his zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, and he does a few ibadat. There's also an obligation of standing up and warning. And as a Muslim, of course, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as far as his da'wat was concerned, then he was Bashir also and Nazir also. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nazira. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent him as a giver of glad tidings and also a giver of warnings. So here the kuffar are told that they must accept this and heed this warning. Qum fa anzir. Stand up and warn them. Now we can go into a detailed discussion, but let's move on. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that he must magnify. I'm just giving explanation. That Allah ta'ala is the creator, he is our Rabb, he is our sustainer. In whichever way you look at it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sustaining us. Look at the different ways in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sustaining the universe. This I have discussed so many times. That from whichever angle you look at it and whatever you look at, then you will find that it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sustaining. Allah ta'ala's glory we have to therefore magnify. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, wa rabbaka fakabbir. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who could have been magnifying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's glory more than him? In everything you will find that either he's saying Alhamdulillah, or he's saying Rabbana, or Allahumma inni as'aluka, or Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Showing that before my Allah and before my Lord, I'm extremely weak. Yet he was the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But in his du'as you will find such humility that oh Allah, I am dependent totally upon you. So if he is showing us that in his action, how much more we should show in our du'as to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahhir. Now this is again a very important instruction that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been given. That as far as the clothes are concerned, then keep it purified. The garments must be in a clean condition. And then a wide meaning is given also of this thiyab, which is the plural of thawb, that it also means the deen of a person. It means the heart of a person. Look at the different meanings that have been given. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whose heart could have been more pure and more clean and more filled with the love and the ishq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than anybody else's. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those who came into contact with him, those who imbibed the fragrances from him, look at what they became in their lives. The Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajmain became radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. Last night also I mentioned, and many times, that look at Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, and he comes out with a sword to assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Who could be a person more evil than the one who takes out a sword to assassinate the greatest after Allah? Jameelo mein ajmal, sharifo mein ashraf, kamilo mein akmal, tajdar madina, Ahmad Mustafa, Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He wants to assassinate him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him hidayat. And then look at the progress that he makes after that. And then he reaches the stage of Amirul Mu'mineen, Commander-in-Chief of the Muslims. And look at the victories in his time. And look at the rob and the awe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to him over the enemies of Islam. The empires, the emperors used to shiver. And then look at his good fortune that he is resting next to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala in the Rose of Mubarak. Now what kind of greatness? Now where did he get this from? He got it from the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's company. So therefore here we are told, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. Now because he is told to warn, he is told to invite, he is told to propagate. So there is a big lesson in there that the person who is doing propagation and the person who is doing da'wat ilallah and the person who is calling towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then his clothes also have to be presentable. He must not be in an untidy state, because that has a detrimental effect on the preaching of the person. One is ironing and pressing and everything else, that is not part of it. But clean. It must not be in a dirty state. If we have been traveling and we have arrived somewhere and now our clothes have become dirty, then first have a ghusl, have a bath, change the clothes, look presentable, and thereafter stand and take the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I have seen many of our akabir, before they go for any program, any bayan, any waz, any nasihat, then they make sure that they are presentable. That is part of the teaching of deen. So one is the purification of that garment, and then general for every Muslim, whoever he may be, the purification of the garment from impurities is an extremely important thing. It's not lavishness of those clothes, it's the purity of the garment, cleanliness. It can be a cloth that, and a garment and a shirt, or a kurta the person has been wearing for 20 years, it's not a problem. As long as it is clean, it is washed, it is presentable. The person must not be in an untidy state when he is giving the da'wat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Thereafter, it is not only the clothes, but because the clothes has an effect and an impact on the heart. So therefore, this thiyabaka fatahhir, one of the meanings is given that even your hearts now have to be clean and pure. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being ordered, but we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was nobody more pure and more clean and more perfect than him. But it is for everyone a lesson in there, that every Muslim, whoever he may be, his garments must be pure, it must be clean, it must be pak. How many people there are, without exaggeration, because I replied to correspondents from different parts of the world, with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal. And there are so many people that are complaining, my brother doesn't even wash after going to the toilet. He just uses toilet paper and is out. Or the person doesn't change his clothes after knowing fully well that there's its impurities. There are some of them that have relationship with their wives, but they haven't had a bath for a number of days. There are so many people not keeping their bodies clean. Their underarms, the hair is not removed for many, many days. Now these are things which we may say trivial and it should not be even discussed, but it should be discussed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discussed it. It is not only our outer garments. How many bodies that are picked up for mayyat and ghusl? Of course, if that person went into coma and for many days he could not undertake that himself, it is a different thing. Then it is the duty of the people around him to make sure that there's some cleanliness and purity. But many bodies are picked up and just immediately after that, When they are rushed to the hospitals, the doctors say that they are in such a dirty state. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized on this. The cleanliness of the body also. Remove unwanted hair at least once a week. We must educate our children also who are coming of age. So cleanliness and purity of the body. But then it is not only the clothes and the body. The most important thing is the heart. The purification of the heart from malice, from greed, from pride, from arrogance, from jealousy, from envy. Now these are things that we call bad traits and evil traits. And unfortunately, as I keep saying, that we have made our hearts into garbage bags. How in the garbage bin we throw all kinds of dirt and filth, even diapers and nappies. In the same way, into our hearts we are throwing all the time jealousy, malice, greed, pride, arrogance. Now the purification of this heart. So وَسِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرِ is not only just the clothes. Other meanings have also been given. Now we can discuss that also at length, the purification of the heart. Now what is the purpose if the person just removes the malice, the greed, the pride and arrogance, but does not fill in anything else inside? The person has got a box, and it's a very, very precious and very expensive box. Unfortunately, somebody put dirty stuff inside there. So now he removed the dirt. After removing the dirt, he does not fill that box with what was supposed to be put inside. Diamonds, pearls, jewelry, cash, gold, silver. If he doesn't fill that, we'll say he's not fulfilling the purpose of that box. So like that, one is emptying this heart of malice, of greed and of pride. But then there has to be a fill up also of shukr, of sabr, of zuhud, of qanaat. Contentment in the heart, tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of such a degree that it does not shake him, it does not lead him to haram, it doesn't take him to the casinos to earn, it doesn't take him to the gambling dens, it doesn't make him take interest and give interest to make progress in his economic life. So he must fill up that heart now with that yaqeen, with that muhabbat, with that tawakkul. With shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, extensive amount of gratitude to Allah ta'ala for all the bounties and ni'mats that Allah ta'ala has blessed. So that is again, siyabaka fatahir, warrudza fahjur. And then, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, just shun the idols, just to give you a meaning. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, must shun the idols. That means he mustn't worship idols. Now was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ever in his life going to worship any kind of idol? Although Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala gives another meaning, masiyat or sins. So even if it is sins, then don't go near any sins, shun it, distance yourself from it. So was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to engage in any kind of sin? So it is for the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although that time the address was to the kuffar. But was a wide application. It is for the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and for everybody. One is that idol that none of us will worship. If it is made of stone, we are not going to worship it. We'll say it's made of stone. We ask, will it help you in any way? Say, no way. Will this idol listen to you? No. Will this idol see you? No. And after that, make it of gold and now slice it into pieces and now ask a person, now will all your problems be solved? He say, alhamdulillah, it will be solved. Now it will help in every situation. Yes, yes, it will help in every situation because now I've got a big chunk of gold. So is that not an idol? Our passions, haven't we made them into idols? Are we not worshipping our passions? If a person has got a passion for some haram, porn sites on the internet, or his adultery, or fornication, or his illicit love relationship, now there's a passion. Now ask him to give it up. So if it was not worshipping, in inverted commas, then why is he not giving it up? Why is he not obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam? So all these passions also we have made them into idols. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. So respected brothers and also our sisters listening over the receivers, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given these instructions. And these instructions, it is for all of us, that we have to do the propagation of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through our akhlaq, through our character, through our dealings, through our speech, through everything. The person is being watched as a Muslim. Look at the profile of a Muslim today. What is the profile? And who is the major cause of that kind of a profile? If you have to look at it, who is the major cause of it? We are the major cause of it. Of course, they, in their enmity and hatred, they will do a lots of things. But most of the time, it is our own character, our own akhlaq, our own dealings. Such kind of incidents come before us. So therefore, it is for all of us that we must make propagation of this deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must invite through our akhlaq, through our charities, through our honesty, through our sincerity, through our generosity, through our kindness, through our nobility, through our humility. All these are traits that we must adopt and develop. Then we will see how people are attracted, like how bee is attracted to honey. That is how they will be attracted. And thereafter, all the other things that I have discussed. Then one more thing that is mentioned is, وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. In other words, do not give to somebody or bestow upon somebody some gifts so that you may receive more in return. The person is being kind, he is being generous, he is giving gifts, he is extending his hand of friendship and generosity. However, the intention and the niyat behind that whole giving is so that there must be something in it for me. Now that is a very common trait. The person will help his brother, he will help his sister, he will help his friend, he will help some customer, he will help some client, somebody else. And in everything, the whole niyat and purpose of that kindness that the person has extended is that so that he may get some favors out of that person, or he may get something more in return. That person may be in great difficulty, but he has got a van. He owns a van, but he's in great difficulty, financial difficulty. So now this person who normally uses other people's transport, so he will give this person some help to take him out of his financial problem. But thereafter, every time he sees that person's van going in Johannesburg direction or Cape Town direction, can you take a few parcels for me? No asking how much or anything to. Why? Because he has done a favor to him. This is just one simple example I gave. But look at our lives. Ask ourselves, why am I doing this favor? Why am I giving this charity? Why am I helping this person? Am I giving it because I want Allah Ta'ala to be pleased? Or am I giving it so that this person tomorrow must help me again? Or he must assist me now? That's a different thing in trade, in business and everything else we deal, that you buy this, I sell that, or you do me this favor, I do you that favor. That's a different thing. But I'm talking about where the person is outwardly projecting an image of great generosity and kindness and is bestowing great favor upon somebody via gifts or anything else. And in the meantime, there is nothing but in the heart, the desire that he must be also now favored with great amount of returns. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us all from these type of evil traits. And finally, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, wa li rabbika fasbir. Meaning that in this work that you are going to then do, there will be difficulties, there will be hardship, there will be pain, there will be suffering, there will be all kinds of taunts and jeering and laughing and mocking and teasing. Then at that time you have to exercise perseverance and patience. And in your ibadat, in your zikr, in your tilawat, in your dealings, in everything, you will have to suppress the nafs and obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's a kind of sabr. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you an ummat at large the tawfiq of amal. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of people around the globe, and especially at present in Palestine and Pakistan, and of course Kashmir and all other places. But we know the floodwaters, the damage, the destruction, the devastation that has been undertaken first time in the history of Pakistan. Now people say that why must we worry about it? Why must we worry? Because we are creation of Allah Ta'ala, we are Allah Ta'ala's bandas in the first place, and then we are ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we are told that when there are disasters and destruction anywhere, then at that time we must not say that they are very bad people, we are excellent people. Now it happened to them because of their sins. That's the worst thing a person can say. We must think that it's because of our sins that people around the globe are suffering. And then whoever is suffering, whether it's Muslim, non-Muslim, it's the duty of a Muslim to help. At that time, we don't stand up there and give speeches. The speeches are for other times. There it is the duty of the person to throw himself into the field and help in whichever way he can. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the charities of all those who have given in large amounts and in whichever way they have contributed. and also those who are on the ground, they're serving and helping them, and in other parts of the world, wherever there are disasters, problems, difficulties. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ease the problems and bless them with the best of dunya and akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.